Psalms, but before we start our scripture, please bow your head. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for just the many blessings you bestow upon our lives. We're grateful for the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the true meaning of Christmas, and we thank you that you have sent this Savior for our lives just into us each and every day. We're grateful for that. We're grateful for your love. We thank you for our brother Al, who's going to be delivering our message today. Help your spirit guide and direct his words to glorify you in how he says things, how he presents this message. But he is your servant, and we thank you for his witness to you. We thank you and praise you for all you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading is Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal men do to me? The word of the Lord.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. My fellow heathens, now forgiven. All of us in the same boat. When I am afraid, I shall trust in the Lord. I shall not be shaken. In these last days, in these last weeks and months, actually, there's three things that I've consistently heard. Maybe you've heard them too. One of them is, these are unprecedented times we're living in. Boy, if I had 50 cents for every time I heard that, you know, I'd have a wad. The other thing is, hey, it's okay to not be okay, because it's okay. Now, my daughter tried that one on me earlier in the year. Says, Dad, I'm not feeling too good about things. I don't want to do the dishes. No, that's not okay. And the third thing that we hear quite often is, trust God. Trust God. Trust God. It's just a complete, repeated phrase. But what does that actually mean? You know, I can say today, to teach one of you, trust God, but does anybody know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now? Tomorrow you could lose your home. Trust God. You might lose your job. The economy in Haines is depressed. Trust God. Even worse, you may lose loved ones, or you may come down with an illness. Trust God. But what does that actually mean? And is that enough that we can get through these days and times? So there's one passage in the Bible that is one of my sister Sue's favorites. And seeing her get through life and the things she's had to face and struggle through has helped bring meaning to this passage to where I can really wrap my hands around it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray. Lord God, as we look at this passage in these unprecedented times, Lord, when things are not okay, when we're told time and time again in the midst of unspeakable disaster in our lives and loss and pain and suffering, we're told to trust you, trust God. Lord, help us to understand what that actually means. Take it from head knowledge, Lord, and put it into the very fiber of our being, the soul of our spirit, that we can go forth and know what that means, that when we are afraid, we shall not be shaken, because we will trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. These words, of course, as you can see, have tremendous power and impact. And I've asked this question through the years, as so many things in the Bible are in there, and do we really understand what they mean? Do I really understand? Can I really grab onto it and live it out? Now, if I said trust, okay, who can give a definition to trust? Almost every one of us would be able to say something, right? But, okay, I want you to put trust. I want to see it. Put it in my hand right here. If I passed around and says trust, what would I see? Well, that question is coming from a Western mentality thought. And in the early days of the Bible, when Proverbs was written, when this was actually written in here, just to give a context, this is written about 950 before Christ. So almost 3,000 years ago, this passage was written. Now, to give a context of where it fits in, the writings of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, were written about 1,400 B.C. So between that writing and this writing is about 450 years. Just to give a picture, where does all these writings come from? What's the meaning behind it? Now, the mentality in which we read it today, or in the New Testament, the Hellenistic Roman Empire thinking, was thought. If I asked you what trust was, you'd have to explain, well, trust is like, wait a minute, I can't understand that. Trust is, appears to be, trust is this, but at the end of the day, no matter how many explanations we put to it, I still can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't feel it. I can't eat it. That was the mentality in which we approach it today. Now, if we go back to the biblical times, again, 3,000 years ago when this passage was written, it was written in the ancient Hebrew language. So the Hebrew language is mysterious. It's the Bible language. It has so many things in there that unfold the person of Christ that it's so, and God himself, it's so easy to glaze over because it's so hard to understand. For example, in the Western way of thinking, we want to see or touch or feel. For example, if I were to ask a Greek, can you describe this to me? They would say, why, certainly, it appears to have a color of blue. It's maybe 7 inches long, and it has a cap that twists. When you open the cap, it has a gasket in it. The top looks like about, oh, two inches across, and it has threads, and it has this little plastic lanyard to keep from losing the cap. Then if you look on the bottom, it says it's made in the USA. And then it says it has BPA free. But most likely it's made of polyethylene. And maybe it is a 0.12 millimeters thick. That's how we would describe it. That's how a Greek person would describe it. But you go back to the ancient biblical days when Proverbs was written, and you hold this up and you say, can you describe this to me? The answer most likely would be, it's a container in which to hold water. That's the way, the different way of thinking and interpreting the Word of God. So when this is written to a Hebrew, there's only 22 Hebrew consonants in the alphabet. There's no vowels. So all the words are comprised of these 22 letters. And for a Greek person, we want to be able to see and touch and feel and relate. But for a Hebrew person, ancient biblical Jew, for them it is something to eat, something to feel, something to touch, something to grab onto. It has to be something they can relate to. So the language we use is, trust is like, or trust appears to be. But the ancient biblical language simply had no definition for trust, but yet it said trust is. Here's an example. So we're looking and saying, well, what does it really mean to trust? There are seven words in the Hebrew language that describe, or I should say, that is the word for trust. But none of them have a definition. It's pretty mysterious. Now, you'd think that the word faith would be found all over in the Old Testament. But yet faith, the actual word faith, is only found twice. It's found once in Habakkuk and once in the Psalms. It's only, or in Deuteronomy. It's only found twice because it's a concept. It is not a definition. So here's some interesting things that are just fun facts about learning about this word trust. There are seven words that are used. The first Jewish word is chasach, and this is found in Psalm 18:2. It says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom will I trust? My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, the horn is simply a symbol of God's power. Yet, that passage encapsulates the word chaha, which is trust. There is no word. It's not like. It's not this is how it appears to be. It's not the same as. It's simply saying Psalm 18:2 is trust. That's a hard concept to wrap around. How about Psalm 18:30? For it's the same word, for trust. For God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Psalm 19:2. He is my refuge. He is my rock. That is trust. It isn't like trust in explaining it to a young Hebrew child growing up. They're saying that is trust. See the difference when we look into the original language, how it paints. Another word is Yahal. And in Job 13:15, where Job was just, he was stripped of everything that was made him human. Everything was taken away. And then he says this, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. That word, trust, that we translate into English, is that passage. That encapsulates trust. The Syrian army was besieging the Israelite capital of Samaria. The people were starving. And the people were crying out to God, and they says, what are we going to do? And in 2 Kings 6:33, it says, this disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? The word wait is the same Hebrew word that encapsulates trust. See, it's not telling us trust is, but they're saying trust is this. Another word is bata. In Jeremiah 17:5-7, it's the same word. We're looking at the word trust. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Again, that passage is trust. It isn't, this is what trust means. It's, that is trust. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times. You people pour out your heart before him as a refuge for us all. That is trust. Another word that's used, one of the seven words that are used for the word trust, is ahban. And it's found in Jonah 3:5, where Jonah was sent to take a message to the Ninevites. But the Ninevites actually had a belief of God, but they had strayed. And then as he gave his message in Jonah 3:5, it says, the people of Nineveh believed God. They declared a fast from the greatest to the least, and they put on sackcloth. That phrase, the people of Nineveh believed and they put on sackcloth, is trust. Trust in the Lord. That's the word. That's the definition. Genesis 15:6, we all know this one. This is where Abraham in Genesis 12 was promised. It says, from you, the descendants of the earth, descendants from you will populate all the earth. And then he says, Abraham says to God, but you haven't given me any children, God. I have no offspring. God says to him, count the stars, so your offspring shall be. Abraham, it says in the scriptures, believed the Lord. It was credited to him as righteousness. Now the word believed, and Abraham believed the Lord, it wasn't he believed that the promise was coming. He didn't believe in the promise. He believed in the Lord. That is trust. It had nothing to do with the exterior things around us. Psalm 40, another word called mitbach. Psalm 44 is, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Psalm 71:5, for you have seen my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. Again, these passages are the Hebrew word for trust. Psalm in Galal is another word in the Psalms. It says, God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. And this beautiful passage here out of Psalm 46:1-3. And it kind of hits home for us. Masech is the word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, God shall be our stronghold. God is our refuge. Now, what happened in the Hebrew language is that was taught to these young folks growing up. So Proverbs, written 3,000 years ago, was written from a father's heart, as it says right here. He says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life in many years and bring you prosperity." It's the lessons from a father giving to his son that has grown up in the Hebrew faith from a baby. He's grown up in the scriptures, in the Torah, and now he's ready to go forth, become a man, and move forth in his life. And these are the parting words. And so when we look at these words here that describe trust, he's not saying trust in the Lord because trust is. The Western mentality or the Greek mentality was trust because of what I see. Trust because of this and that, then I can trust. Where in Hebrew, the focus was trust because of who dwells within, that the trust is coming forth. You know, I saw this in my earlier years. I was fortunate to have been able to travel and went to Hong Kong, went to some Stan countries, China, Pakistan, and met other Christians. And when we would pray, I noticed this specifically in Hong Kong, that when we would pray, there were Western folks, there were Eastern folks, there were Middle Eastern folks, young people were all together, that the prayers were different. In my prayers, I would say things like, "Lord God, thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the blue sky. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for this beautiful place in which to live." Because that was my perspective, and I was thankful. But I noticed in the Middle Eastern, their response was, "Lord God, you are my rock. You are my refuge. Lord God, you are the beat of my heart. You are the air that I breathe. You are the drink of water when I am parched in the desert." And the focus is so different. Here in our Western mentality, in the Greek Hellenistic thinking, was always taken from what I see out here and how it applies to me and how it makes me react and respond. But yet in the Eastern mentality, it's what is in here and wow, that translates to the entire world. That is the focus of this passage here. Trust in the Lord, not looking from the outside saying, "Oh Lord God, we've had COVID since March 17. Everything, the economy is down. Everything is worrying us. We're frightened. We're scared because of what is seen from the outside, how that applies into my life." But yet, from the Hebrew culture, the biblical language was trust in the Lord and remain unshaken, not because of what is out there that is affecting you, but because of who dwells within, the Almighty El Shaddai himself. So you see, this passage then, I've read this many years, saying, when I'm in trouble, "Oh Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Oh Lord, trust in, with all my heart, I'm going to trust in you because, Lord, you got to get me through this. You got to see me through." But yet, in the Hebrew language, it was a command, where for me, it was a cry. In the Hebrew language, it was a command, a father saying to his son, "Son, you've learned everything you could know. You've come to know the great God, Yahweh. You're ready to move forth in your life. Now, here is your command. You trust in the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." It's a command. You do not have a choice. "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will set your path straight." You see, it's a promise. It's a command to say, you're going into battle now. Here's how to keep yourself alive. There's a difference from, "Lord God, I'm in another mess. I'm going to trust in you. God, you got to get me out of this. And I promise I'll give more on Sunday morning. I'll do something." But that's the difference. You see, so when we're looking at this passage and I'm looking and saying, "God, teach me, what does it really mean to trust? Is it a choice that I make on the outside?" No, it's a command to us because of who dwells within. That is trust. And we stand upon that. That becomes the rock of our salvation. That becomes our refuge because it's already indwelling. Thus, I shall trust. My head will be bloodied, but I'll remain unbowed because my faith and trust is in the Lord.